Chapter 6. Excerpts from the Sciences of the Humane Scholar, Muhammad Demin Sheikho. His soul has been sanctified by Allah.
Such was the habit of this venerable humane scholar. His soul has been sanctified by Allah, concerning all that he has bestowed upon us of the endless knowledge which turns heads and makes the fronts bow, glorifying and revering the meanings of the Holy Quran. He filled the heavens with the Quranic scientific knowledge that Allah the Almighty had revealed to him. For it is he who acquitted the noble prophets of all that conflicts with their perfection, impeccability, and their spirit's purity in his book, Impeccability of Prophets. As he explained their high deeds, for which they deserved to receive the message of their provider, they became guides, guided by Allah's light. He also disproved each saying or tale that contradicts the impeccability of our Master Muhammad. In two books he singled out about the chosen beloved, Prophet Muhammad, communication with Allah and peace are through him. The reality of our Master Muhammad appears in the 20th century, and visiting the Prophet's position and the effect of his love in elevating the believing spirit. As he showed the position of the Prophet's pure companions, which they had held justly, and their being deserving of holding the caliphate, by Allah, the Almighty and Master of the creatures, like our Master Abu Bakr, who triumphed over the apostate Arabs, Persians and Romans, and our Master Umar ibn al-Khattab, who completed the conquests, supported the orphans, and attached the ties of blood, besides the rest of the four caliphs and the honourable companions. He clarified that their belief in Allah, the Almighty, and their love for his noble messenger, communication with Allah, and peace are through him, was the source of their knowledge and the reason behind their sublimity and authority over the worlds.
He showed the wisdom folded in the verses of the Holy Quran and hidden in every command ordered by the Great and the Almighty. For he disclosed the meaning of the letters that are reported in the beginning of the fortresses, surahs, which all the Muslim scholars fail to know. Besides this, there is his wondrous revelation of the exordium, Al-Fatiha, and the secret behind reading it when communicating with Allah, which had bewildered all the scholars and holy men. All of this is mentioned in his book, Secrets of the Seven Praising Verses, and his book, Al-Amin, Interpretation of the Great Quran.
He derived the times of the five prayers, communicating with Allah, from the Holy Quran, and showed the wisdom behind it, prayer, and the secret of turning toward the Kaaba. Similarly, he derived the proportion of zakat, almsgiving, which is 2.5%, from the Quranic verses. He explained the meaning of piety, seen by Allah's light, and how to attain it in Ramadan. In the same way, he explicated the meaning of the night of Qadr, and showed the reason for revealing the Quran on that blessed night. He also revealed the secrets of the rites of pilgrimage and the wisdom behind each ritual that the pilgrim, Al-Hajj, performs. He also showed the way of true believing and clarified that believing in God is not attained only by saying or admitting, but it is a witnessing in its reality, manifesting the meaning of the statement, "I witness that there is no God but Allah, and I witness that Muhammad is a messenger of Allah." All that is stated in his book, High Schools Are Seen by Allah's Light, The Jewels of Rules in Explaining the Pillars of Islam.
He solved the problem of fate, which puzzled the minds of the scientists and philosophers of Mu'tazila, necessitarianism, the Greek and the Roman, as well as the scholars and philosophers of Christianity, Judaism and Islam. Besides, there is his high understanding of the Almighty saying in the Holy Quran, Fortress 3, Al-Imran, the family of Imran, verse 129. He pardons whoever wills and torments whoever pleases. And from the Holy Quran, Fortress 16, An-Nahl, the bees, verse 93. He misguides whoever pleases and gives guidance to whoever wills. This showed that the obedient one's will is that which truly follows the way of believing, requesting guidance, and avoiding the way of perversity, seeking to reach the reality, the truth, and the right religion. He also explained the freedom of choice which every man has in this life.
He explained in detail the meaning of the 6 days mentioned in the Holy Quran, Fortress 7, Al-Araf, the Heights, verse 54. Your provider is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, then he controlled their destiny. He also expounded the meaning of the 10 nights and the 7 heavens, which Muslim, Christian, and Jewish scholars could not know. That is in his book, The Great Scientific Discovery, The Astonishing Reality of the 6 Days and the 7 Heavens.
By sound logic, he elucidated the great praise which God's messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, deserves. In Abasa Fortress, he frowned. When the noble messenger, the owner of great morals, frowns, as Abdullah ibn Maktoum comes to him, while all of the interpreters put God's messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, in the wrong position when interpreting the beginning of this noble fortress. He clarified the meanings of all the fortresses reported in the Amma part of the Quran and explained the word Amma in inimitable detail in his book, Interpretation of Amma Part of the Quran.
He also showed the reality and the compassion that unfolded within the case of polygamy, reported at the beginning of Al-Nefsa Fortress Women, when he solved the problematic case and refuted each saying that causes Islam to look like a lustful religion by allowing man to marry 4 women as a result of not returning to the noble verse, reading it as a whole and scrutinizing its course. For a Muslim, it is not permitted to marry more than 1 woman, but as for marrying the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th one, it is not allowed except within the conditions reported at the beginning of the noble verse, and which have been neglected and removed from use. The noble verse stipulates that the woman should be a widow with orphans, so the purpose of polygamy is a humane and lofty one. It is to maintain widows and bring up orphans in such a way as to build a sound society, and it is not a spiritual, lustful one, as interpreted by many who put the verse into effect without returning to the beginning of it. And with that, they have created a bad reputation for Islam and Muslims, because the religion appears to be a lustful, inhumane one in their eyes because of polygamy. He also revealed the laws of divorce, deriving them from the Holy Quran, and revealed the way to fulfill these stipulations and rules in case of recalcitrance on the part of the wife, and the rising of discord between the 2 mates. All of this is stated in his book, Islam, What is the Veil For? What is Divorce For? What is Polygamy For?
He elucidated the Almighty's aim behind creating creation, and the reason for creating the human, and their coming to this world, which he indicated in Al-Azal world. First creating, offering trust, and undertaking of man to bear it. He also answered the puzzling question, which is, why are prophets born as prophets? And what criteria does the Almighty depend on to choose them as prophets and noble messengers before they are born? He explained the godly justice, and demonstrated it in lofty logic. And he also showed the reasons for poverty, sickness, afflictions, and all that may befall man in this world of good or evil. And besides, he stated the elements of which man is composed in a remarkable explanation, where he spoke about the difference between the soul and the spirit, and between the thought and the mind, so revealing the quiddity of each. That was when the famous British scholar, Sir John Godolphin Bennett, professed Islam at the hands of him, as he, Sir John, went to him to ask him his questions, which were difficult for him and for all other scientists and scholars. The meeting was in Damascus City, where Sir John Bennett asked him important questions and inquired about all that crossed his mind concerning Islam and its pillars, and about fasting, pilgrimage, zakat or almsgiving, and the wisdom behind each until the scholar asked him, saying, "Do you, sir, know the source of the water that you drink?" Sir John Bennett replied that rainwater is the main source of drinking water. Then the scholar replied to him, saying that rainwater is for plants and animals, and he revealed to him with cogent evidence the sources of spring water across the whole world, deriving his demonstration from the Holy Quran, and told him that the running of big and small rivers on the surface of the earth is not ascribed at all to rainwater, a reply which is something unknown by any of the Eastern and Western scientists. Rather, it is a great scientific miracle, which shows that the water of these springs has greater and more opulent sources than rainwater. For the scholar demonstrated with more than 30 scientific pieces of evidence derived from the noble verses that the ice of the North and South Poles is the source of the water of all the springs. And when Sir John heard about such research from him and discussed it with him, he immediately confessed Islam and said, "I wonder how this question has never crossed my mind before." And when he returned to his country, he repeated his famous words before a crowd of scientists and educated professors, saying, "Indeed, all the sciences that we have obtained do not equal the sea of sciences of that great scholar in the Orient." In his book, Journeys in Islamic Countries, Sir Bennett mentioned his meeting with the great scholar Muhammad Amin Sheikho, and he talked very much in praise of his unique character, his humane deeds, and his logical dialogue, saying, for example,
"So ends the first talk. I still do not know what to say, except that he is very good and a very sincere man, who is truly turned toward God. But what he understands or does not understand, that I cannot say. Today we started by verifying certain things about work, about which I shall not write, beyond saying that I have no doubt that Emin Sheikho has reached a certain level of inner work that I have rarely met before. As I listen to Emin Bey's explanations about inner work, I marvel. He is a real master. Not only has he achieved being for himself, but he can show others the way and give them the strength and courage to follow it. The chief difficulty with Emin Bey arises from his very goodness and purity. Here is in truth a saintly man who is utterly obedient to the will of Allah as he understands it. He is doing as he has done very much good. He is a faithful guide and example to his marines. I wrote that his very goodness is a difficulty. If he were an ordinary man, however learned he might be, I should not even trouble to spend hours in discussion of theology. But Amin Bey is not an ordinary man. He is a saint, and he has the supernormal power of a saint. Therefore, one must accept him and understand. I was told that all of them have passed through secondary school, and many have been to the university. About one third are themselves secondary school teachers or university lecturers. I mention this because it is important to realize that these murids are not ignorant peasants, but men who have at least some knowledge of Western thought. I have no right to talk to Amin Bey as an equal about questions of religion, unless I am prepared to make demands upon myself, no less severe than he makes upon himself. He is a really good man. The saying that a teacher is known by his pupils is in his favour, for all I have met have remarkable mutual love and sincerity. Now I meet and talk with a real dervish, Amin Bey. He is an altogether extraordinary man in himself, and of the reality in him of the impulses of faith, hope, and love. No one who has seen him as closely as I have can possibly doubt. The more I see of him and hear from other of his works, the more convinced I am that he is truly a saint and that his interpretations of the Quran are inspired by a higher consciousness. Meeting him has been a lesson to me in many ways. I see what wholehearted devotion to work can be. I see no limitation and real understanding. I see nobility of character and an immense power to attract and hold the love and faith of others. Men like Amin Bey are very rare. He has sought God all his life, and he had a real teacher. He is a man with real power of work, and from it he has acquired real being. For all his fundamentalism, Amin Bey is very tolerant and practical in his outlook. I believe that he truly listens to the heart and not to the spoken word. But with this man, I felt such a comradeship and assurance of being fully understood and accepted that I told him things that I would not tell others.
He showed the wisdom behind circumcision for males, and the reason for which the Almighty has created this glands while the male embryo is in his mother's womb, and then the wisdom behind cutting it after birth. The discovery of the scholar is unprecedented by any of the doctors of this time or by those of all the previous ages.
He saved cattle when he showed the use of mentioning Allah's name over them when they are being slaughtered, by pronouncing the statement, "In the name of God, Allah is greater," and clarified that when these cattle hear such a great statement during the performing of the slaughter, their whole blood runs and their bodies shake so that all the blood is released from the carcass and nothing of it remains inside their meat. And by that, the Almighty grants us pure, fresh meat, free of any germs. And on the contrary, the germs will remain inside the carcass, over which the name of Allah is not mentioned, so that the one who eats from it will be subjected to suffering from diseases. Besides, neglecting mentioning Allah's name over cattle will also expose them to be afflicted with deadly and incurable diseases. The scholar had derived all that from the Quranic verses, and his speech was subjected to a medical study, where a laboratory medical team, composed of masters of medicine in the Middle East, executed a comparative analysis between cattle slaughtered while mentioning Allah's name over them, and cattle slaughtered without this being done. The results then came out precisely as the scholar had said, i.e., colonies of germs and viruses remain inside the carcass over which Allah's name is not mentioned. These scientific tidings were transmitted by broadcasting, magazines, newspapers, satellites and news agencies, warning people of neglecting mentioning Allah's name over cattle. But, alas, nonetheless, many people kept ignoring mentioning Allah's name over cattle, and as a result, the world was smitten by mad cow disease, bird flu, and sheep plague, issues which the scholar had warned of, according to the Almighty saying in the Holy Quran, Fortress 6, Al-Anam Livestock, verse 138. And there are cattle over which they do not pronounce the name of Allah, thus inventing a lie about him. They will be punished for these lies.
All that is mentioned in his book. Allah is greater. Be kind to animals. He revived the sacred prophetic sunnah after the books of the ancients had effaced it, when he drove away incurable diseases by animating the sunnah of cupping. He clarified its safe and correct conditions, saying that it must be performed exclusively on the upper part of the back, in the early morning, without having breakfast, in the spring season, and when the crescent decreases, that is, after the 17th day of the lunar month, for the moon has a pull of gravitational effect on the earth. A big medical team composed of about 350 professors and doctors in the Middle East studied this operation according to its correct conditions, as shown by the scholar, during 3 consecutive years, and the outcomes were amazing in medical circles. And there has been an increasing interest in this from year to year, until it has spread all over the world because of its great benefits. Reports of thanks and gratitude followed incessantly from all of the world's countries, thanking him for recreating this useful technique, and from all the people, Muslim or non-Muslim, who practiced it, after they had verified its benefits. All that is mentioned in his book, the marvelous medicine that cured heart disease, cancer, paralysis and migraine, cupping, a prophetic medical science in its new perspective. Most of the news agencies and the world satellites have broadcast it. Magazines and journals have talked about it. Conferences and sessions have been held to discuss it. Besides this, many international medical and hygienic centers have adopted it, seeking its many benefits, for it is a medical vademecum containing all cures in one slit from a wielded scalpel.
He also unveiled the reality of charlatans, conjurers and magicians who work together with devils to cause harm to people through magic, and he explained all the tricks and imaginary actions magicians use on people who know nothing about the reality of magic, such as telling of false unseen matters. He thus revealed that this is a close cooperation between enchanters and their devilish companions. This problem has circulated among most people in this world, to the extent that you can hardly find a home free from these tricks and the cunning of these magicians, or from distress and grief resulting from believing heralds of the devil, especially those magicians who appear to people through satellites and talk to them about their affairs and diseases, leading the viewer or the one who phones them to believe them, unknowing that the magician colludes with his devilish companion to bring him his news. He also offered the solution and showed the way that leads to release from and cure of these spiritual diseases without resorting to any other people, especially those who allege that they treat people through spells or through reading verses of the Holy Quran, though they in fact know nothing. All that is clarified in his book, Unveiling the Secrets of the Magician's Sciences.
He described man's state when he dies in both cases, when he is a believer or an unbeliever. He also elucidated his state after death, during the interval between death and the day of resurrection.
He also explained the verses relating to the account of the day of resurrection and clarified that man's deeds are imprinted on the pages of his spirit in this world, so that on doomsday they shall obviously appear to him.
He revealed the reality of paradise, which is looking at the presence, the enlightening face of the generous provider, owner of honouring, beauty and majesty, demonstrating that all the pleasures, honouring and bliss that man obtains are below that lofty paradise. He proved this statement with logical evidence derived from the Holy Quran. He also clarified that fire on the day of resurrection is like a hospital where the owners of spiritual diseases are treated because of what they bring with them from their lower life, the mean deeds which degrade them before Allah the Almighty, so that their shame and disgrace cause them to request fire, the treating, in order to escape from the spiritual pains and the spiritual burning that they suffer, that destroy them greatly. God's Messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, says, shame will adhere to man on doomsday, until he says, O my provider, your sending me to fire is easier than what I am suffering, though he knows the great torture in it. All that is mentioned in his book, Interpretation of the Great Quran, and his book, Al-Amin Interpretation of the Great Quran.
He revealed the reality of intercession, which most scholars failed to reach, and which they thought was an intercession of unjust meditation, through which the noble messenger, communication with Allah, and peace are through him, got whoever he liked out of fire, something which incited people to commit sins, hoping to be interceded for on doomsday. And so, he clarified through the verses of the Holy Quran that intercession can be achieved only by the believer, and it begins from this world and lasts for him into the afterlife. And that intercession is the binding of one spirit to another, derived from the word couple, which indicates that a thing binds itself to another, coupling with it and adhering to it. Intercession, then, is the binding of believing spirits to the messenger, communication with Allah, and peace are through him, and coupling with him so as to ascend to the godly presence, just as the spirits of the honourable companions bound themselves up to and coupled with his pure chaste spirit, entering into God's presence through him. And so they accompanied him in this world, in the interval between death and doomsday, and shall keep accompanying him in the hereafter. He who does not couple with God's messenger, communication with Allah, and peace are through him, in this world will have no intercession in the life to come. Instead, it will be no more than hopes in which they indulge the spirits, so as to allow themselves to commit forbidden things. For the Holy Quran, as a whole, warns man of the consequences of his deeds, and informs him that he will be recompensed for the wit of his action, either of goodness in paradise or of treatment in fire. Besides, it, the Holy Quran, indicates that God's messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, can do nothing for a creature except admonish the creature, and he can drive nothing to his noble spirit. And God says in the Holy Quran, Fortress 10, Yunus, Jonah, verse 49, "Say, I have not the power to acquire benefits or to avert evil for myself." And God says in the Holy Quran, Fortress 7:2, Al-Jinn, the Jinn, verse 21, "Say, I have no control over any good or evil that befalls you." And God says in the Holy Quran, Fortress 8:2, Al-Infitar, bursting apart, verse 19, "It is the day when a spirit has nothing to do for another, and Allah then will reign supreme." And God says in the Holy Quran, Fortress 3:9, Az-Zumar, the groups, verse 19, "Can you say those who have rightly earned punishment and are doomed to the fire?" He set forth this important research in detail in most of his books, especially his book, Reality of Intercession, a calm dialogue between Dr. Mustafa Mahmud and Dr. Yusuf Al-Qaradawi.
He also showed the reality of our father Adam's descent from paradise, the reason for his eating from the tree, and the state in which he and our mother Eve, peace is through them, were before eating from the tree. And he showed that his great love for his provider had led him to forget godly advice and eat from the tree. All these goings on were by arrangement of Allah the Almighty, so as to let our father Adam, peace is through him, out of paradise and to give him, together with his offspring, paradises in its stead. This was also to show him and his sons the enmity of the devil, in order for man to know that he has an enemy who lurks, and thus man will beware him and follow the guidance of his provider, by whom the noble prophets were guided, and thereby he will be preserved from committing sins and from being under the control of the devil.
He is as well the first one who revealed the reality of belief and the straight way leading to it, which the Holy Quran has outlined, and which all the noble messengers and prophets followed.
He manifested the reason behind mentioning the tale of the Israelites, sons of Israel, frequently in the Holy Quran, and their arguments with their noble messenger, our master Moses, peace is through him, clarifying the following, that if man does not follow the way of true belief legislated to him by the Almighty, he will profit nothing from watching miracles and supernatural actions, nor will he be one of the believers, whatever signs and cogent evidence you bring him. But indeed, seeking the truth honestly, and using thought in searching for it, this guides the spirit, and leads it to the sources of real knowledge. All of this is mentioned in his book, Al-Amin, Interpretation of the Great Quran.
He also clarified all the indications of the hour and the evidence of the returning of Jesus the Christ, peace is through him, from the Holy Quran in his book, The Second Coming of the Christ. All that is a drop of an ocean of what this great humane scholar revealed, for all his research and fields of thinking cannot be written down in lines in order to be read. But indeed, this is only to attract attention to what knowledge of the Holy Quran he offered and revealed to mankind. Many venerable scholars have talked about him and praised his knowledge, his deep derivations from the Holy Quran, and his great understanding of it. They found truth and faithfulness in his mission, and found that it gathers the whole under the banner of the Holy Quran and the sacred Sunnah of God's noble messenger, communication with Allah, and peace are through him, so that all of the hateful sectarian disputes destroying the religion of our master Muhammad will be driven away by this guidance. These sectarianisms have become a mere following of forefathers instead of a following of the Holy Quran, where one nation has been divided into many and has turned away from the right way, parting into sects and parties, whereby each party is pleased with its own false beliefs. The interpolators deceive them by filling their books with mistakes, infringements, and interpretations contradicting Allah's attributes and the noble Prophet's perfection. Then the Muslims lost their way and sank into the sea of disagreement between sects and parties, and they abstained from religion and inclined to this lower life because of them. Dr. Mustafa Mahmud said that the Holy Quran was deserted before the knowledge of this great scholar, for his scientific knowledge is received from Allah and his revelation is logical. I have never found, during all my life, one word like his from another one. Dr. Mustafa has given us a special book about him under the title Contemplations on the Sciences of the Great Eminent Scholar, Muhammad Emin Sheikhu.